From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
VOI listener, wherever you are, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Minister Sri Mulyani discusses renewable energy investment with Korean investors. Karin explores new and renewable energy patch with Myanmar. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news where Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati discussed renewable energy investment plans with investors and companies from South Korea at the Business Forum South Korea Reinvest Indonesia 2023 in Incheon, South Korea, Wednesday. She drew attention to Indonesia's commitment to continuing to expedite the transition to clean and renewable energy through means such as the Energy Transition Mechanisms, or ETM, that was launched during Indonesia's G20 presidencies in November 2022. This commitment is also realized through various roadmaps and policies that are targeted to be achieved in the medium term by 2030 and long term by 2060. To realize the philosophy of a just and affordable energy transition in the energy sector, Indonesia remains steadfast in ensuring four things, with the first being stability in the availability of essential services, such as fresh electricity. Second, it remains focused on ensuring price stability for energy, food, and public transportation, while the country's third priority is social protections for the poor and vulnerable. The fourth area of focus is the application of the principles of sustainable development. Minister Sri Mulyani said the business forum was held in order to welcome the golden age of relations between Indonesia and Korea that date back 50 years. The Indonesian Chambers of Commerce and Industry Kadin in exploring opportunities for trade and investment cooperation with Myanmar, particularly the development of new and renewable energy EBT ecosystem. During his visit to Myanmar, Kadin Head and Chair of the Asian Business Advisory Council, Asian BAC, Arshad Rashid, emphasized that the role of the business and private sector is establishing trade relation or investment in sustainable energy is important in order to achieve Asian economic growth and the 2060 net zero emissions commitment. He said in a written statement received in Jakarta on Thursday that this new and renewable energy potential must be developed by the two countries as part of Asian efforts to achieve net zero emission. Myanmar and Indonesia are able to work together to utilize this new renewable energy to generate electricity. Indonesia has donated $7.72 million to the Fiji government for the period from 2019 to 2024. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati informed in a post on her Instagram account at @smindrawati. The donation is evidence of the close bilateral relation between Indonesia and Fiji. Fiji, an island nation in the Pacific Ocean, is one of Indonesia's partners. It is also Indonesia's trade partner. In 2022, Indonesia's export to the country reached $40.48 million. They were dominated by shipments of cement, iron, and processed tobacco commodities, which increased by 40% compared to 2021. To improve cooperation with Fiji, Indrawati met with the Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Finance of Fiji, Biman Prasad. The meeting discussed the current global economic challenges in the form of inflation triggered by high energy and commodity prices. Indonesia and Fiji are currently members of the Indo-Pacific Economic Framework, along with 12 other countries in the Indo-Pacific region, which seeks to realize fair and equitable growth. Let's move on to the international news, where the Committee on the Exercise of the Inalienable Rights of the Palestinian People on Wednesday unanimously elected Ahmad Faisal Muhammad, permanent representative of Malaysia, to the UN as its vice chair and rapporteur, the Jordan news agency reported. The UN General Assembly established the CEIRPP in 1975 to recommend a program to enable the Palestinian people to exercise their rights to self-determination without external interference, national independence and sovereignty, and to return to their homes and properties from which they had been displaced. Muhammad also said that the Palestinian people had been subjected to despair and agony for far too long. Malaysia, he said, was still convinced that the internationally recognized two-state solutions, with East Jerusalem as its capital and based on pre-1967 borders, could be achieved if the international community, particularly the UN Security Council, exerted all efforts to secure its full implementation. Jordan's foreign minister has discussed with European counterparts the progress and future steps of an Arab-led initiative to gradually reach a political solution in Syria. Ayman Safadi, who is also Jordan's deputy prime minister, stressed the importance of consensus reached at the recent joint Arab meeting in Amman and added that the plan will help address Syria's humanitarian, political, and security problems. Safadi held phone discussion on Thursday with Annalena Baerbock of Germany, Pekka Haavisto of Finland, Ian Borg of Malta, and Nikos Dentias of Greece. Jordan's news agency said that they spoke about resolving the crisis and what was needed to address key issues with a step-by-step methodology in line with Security Council Resolution 2020-54. The news agency said that the European foreign minister stressed the importance of the efforts exerted to gradually resolve the Syrian crisis. National Assembly Chairman Fong Dinh-Hu received Prime Ministers of Luxembourg Javier Bettel in Hanoi on Thursday. In his address, Chairman Hu urged the two countries to strengthen cooperation in economics, trade and investment. Mr. Hu said the Vietnamese National Assembly will be hosting the 9th Global Conference of Young Parliamentarians in September and hopes that the Luxembourg Parliament will send a delegation to the event. Prime Minister Javier Bettel said that during his talks with Prime Minister Pham Minh Chinh, Luxembourg announced two projects with a value of 7 million euros to assist Vietnam to protect the environment and adapt to climate change. He affirmed that Luxembourg is ready to share information pertaining to digital transformation with Vietnam and trusts that Vietnam will consider exempting visa requirements for Luxembourg nationals. During the meetings, the two leaders agreed to strengthen cooperation pertaining to green finance, promote a green economy, therefore creating a new supply chain amid these unprecedented global changes and challenges. Unidentified gunmen shot and killed 8 people, including 5 teachers, in the Pakistani province of Khyber Pakhtunkhwa. Pakistani media reported on Thursday. There were 2 shooting incidents, the Jio broadcasters reported, citing the police, adding that in the first incident, a teacher was shot dead while he was in a car. Meanwhile, 7 other people, 4 teachers and 3 drivers, were killed in a school building. The attack took place in the Kuram district on the border between Pakistan and Afghanistan. The report added, after the incident, the entrance exam, which began on April 28, were postponed, and the date for their resumption will be announced later. All educational institutions were also closed. Pakistan's President Zarif Alfi expressed his condolences to the families of the victims and expressed the hope that the criminals would be punished in accordance with the law. Listener, now let's move on to commentary.
Today's commentary is entitled, Russia Accuses Ukraine Trying to Kill Putin, through drone attack. Russia accused Ukraine of attacking the Kremlin presidential palace last Wednesday, May the 3rd. Moscow claims to have shot down two drones it said were targeting President Vladimir Putin. According to the Kremlin, the two drones planned a terrorist attack that attempted to kill the Russian president but did not injure anyone. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said the incident did not disrupt the president's schedule. He said President Vladimir Putin was at the presidential residence in Novo-Ogaryovo, which is west of the capital Moscow, at the time of the incident. The president is scheduled to take part in the World War II Victory Day parade to be held in Red Square next week. Following the incident, the mayor of Moscow, Sergei Sobyanin, announced a ban on drone flights over the Russian capital unless specific permission is granted by government authorities. Responding to Russia's accusations, Ukrainian government officials said Kyiv had nothing to do with the drone attack on the Kremlin's presidential palace. According to Mykhailo Podolyak, an advisor to Ukrainian president, such an action will achieve nothing for Kyiv on the battlefield and will only provoke Russia to act more radically. Podolyak said that allegations that Ukraine was behind the attack and that Russia had arrested the suspected saboteurs could indicate that Moscow was preparing a large-scale attack against Kyiv in the coming days. It has been more than a year since Russia began its offensive against Ukraine in February 2022. Hundreds of thousands of casualties have fallen on both sides, not to mention the immeasurable material losses. The impact of the war on the world economy is still being felt today, but there are no visible signs of the war ending soon. Proactive, not provocative action is needed to end the war immediately, at least to achieve a truce. If not, there will be many more civilians and military who will lose their lives. Isn't it that in every war, both the winners and losers will lose? And sadly, those who suffer the most from the war are the people of each country. They have to lose their loved ones, possessions, and also their homes. In fact, not infrequently, they are forced to flee to another country in order to get a more secure and peaceful life. That was commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April the 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September the 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11th, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared, who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
I'll start today in history with May the 5th, 1944. Mohandas Gandhi or Mahatma Gandhi was released from prison. Mohandas Gandhi was the most important person involved in the Indian independence movement. He is an activist who does not use violence, carrying the independence movement through peaceful demonstrations. Because of his struggle, Mahatma Gandhi was imprisoned several times. Quoting mkgandhi.org, after he issued the Quit India Resolution, Mahatma Gandhi was arrested under the Indian Defence Rules on August the 9th, 1942, in the morning. Finally, on May the 5th, 1944, he was released unconditionally. Turning to May the 5th, 1980, Petition 50, an expression of concern by 50 national figures published in Jakarta. Petition 50 is a document containing protests against the use of the state philosophy of Pancasila by President Suharto to curb his political opponents. This petition was issued on May 5, 1980 in Jakarta as an expression of concern and was signed by 50 prominent Indonesian figures, including former Chief of Staff of the Armed Forces General Nasution, former National Police Chief Hugeng Imam Santoso, former Governor of Jakarta Ali Sadikin, and former Prime Ministers Burhanuddin Harahap and Muhammad Natsir. The signatories to this petition stated that the President considered himself the embodiment of Pancasila. Suharto considered any criticism of himself as a criticism of the state ideology Pancasila. I'll end today in history with the 2007 crashing of Kenya Airways Flight 507 heading Abidjan Douala Nairobi. Kenya Airways Flight 507 was a Boeing 737-800 flight that departed from Douala International Airport in Douala, Cameroon to Jomo Kenyatta International Airport in Nairobi, Kenya. The flight started from Port Bue Airport in Abidjan, Ivory Coast, but made a stop in Douala to pick up a number of passengers. The plane allegedly crashed near the town of Lolodorf, about 160 kilometers southeast of the coastal city of Douala, southern Cameroon, on May 5, 2007. Kenya Airways said the passengers were from 26 countries. None of the 105 passengers and 9 crew on board survived this disaster. That was today in history.
Tersenyumlah Indonesiaku.
Jauh masa depan, kelak suatu hari ku akan menjadi cahaya bagi Indonesia. Ayolah kawan, bersama kita akan harumi Indonesia.
Listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Finance Minister and Central Bank Governors of Asian Plus 3 member countries agreed to strengthen regional financial cooperation at the 26th Asian Plus 3 Regional Finance Ministers and Central Bank Governors meeting in Incheon, South Korea on Tuesday. This is because the region must remain vigilant about the recent turmoils in the banking sector in the United States and Europe, even though it has a limited propagation's impact on Asian Plus 3. In an official statement quoted by Antara on Wednesday, Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani said, strengthening financial cooperation was carried out through various initiatives. The meeting was held under the co-chairmanships of the Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani, Bank Indonesia's Governor Perry Warjio, Japanese Finance Minister Sunichi Suzuki, and Japanese Central Bank Governor Kazuo Ueda. the Asian Development Bank ADB President, AMRO Asian Plus 3 Director, Asian Deputy Secretary General and International Monetary Fund Deputy Managing Director were also present. At the meeting, Minister Sri Mulyani has said that Asian Plus 3 economic growth is quite strong, namely 3.2% in 2022. The Asian Plus 3 economy is expected to grow by 4.6% in 2023, driven by the strong domestic demand due to the economic recovery that continues to show improvement. Meanwhile, Bank Indonesia's Governor Peri Warjio says Asian Plus 3 needs to innovate to be able to maintain stability amid still high inflation, tighter liquidity conditions, narrower policy space, and the strong influence of the U.S. dollar. Peri affirmed the importance of strengthening and increasing cooperation among Asian Plus 3 countries in payment connectivity by promoting the wider use of local currencies for transactions. Related to that, the meeting of ministers of finance and governors of central banks in Asian Plus 3 regions welcomed and acknowledged the progress of studies on cross-border payment system in Asian Plus 3, particularly regarding the strengthening of local currency transactions or LCT in discussing Asian Plus 3 thematic issues.
This once in a lifetime, I'm so tired of frowning. You're no healer, and you think that I need you. You can't keep me from falling. I'm too scared to admit it, but I'm so close to the limit. Never gonna be what you want anymore.
Still with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The title of the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition is Menong Handicraft. When you travel to Purwakarta, West Java, please don't forget to buy Menong Handicrafts as your souvenir. Menong means a beautiful woman. It comes from the word men, which means human, and Nong, which means beautiful. Menong has olive skin, small lips, long eyebrows, and a crown on his head. Her clothes are dominated by black and red. Menong Purwakarta is very beautiful, funny, and adorable. Menong is an icon of Pleret District, as well as an official icon of the city of Purwakarta. Listener, Menong was first made in 1980 by a craftsman from Anjun village, namely Yanto. In its development, Menong is modified into some facial forms. In a modified Menong, it has two faces on the front and back. One face has a good impression, and another one is as an evil impression. The color is dominated by black and white. For the people of Purwakarta, Menong has also its own philosophy. On the Menong crown, there is a jasmine flower symbol which is believed to be a white and holy symbol. This jasmine flower cannot be separated from the traditions of the Sundanese and Javanese tribes. At the bottom, there is a symbol of Galuh nails, which is very synonymous with Sundanese history. The nine dots on the crown reflect the nine steps of the Purwakarta Regency Government Working Program. The tie earrings that adorned the head symbolize the unity that binds the people of Purwakarta. On the side, there is a symbol of the crown of Binokeshan, a West Java library object. It means as a symbol of a glorified person's clothing. At the bottom, there is a pair of sahate twin cleavers, a typical Sundanese library. While the black and white colors on Menong symbolize the design and layout of the city of Purwakarta. Listener, Menong can be obtained at souvenir shops in Purwakarta, for example, in some shops in Pleret or the Menong Gallery. It has various prices. It depends on size. For beautiful Menong, it is sold per package at a price of 350,000 rupiah, but some are sold individually at a price of around 100,000 rupiah. However, this Menong is usually sold in packages. One package consists of three Menong, namely the mother, 25 cm high, and her two daughters, large 16 cm high, and small 12 cm high. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Untukmu, ku tak berubah, tak berubah, ya.
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany.
Miscellany for today has a topic, ITS students in France, plastic to fuel recycling device. Listeners, one of the solutions to overcome the plastic waste problem is to use pyrolysis techniques to recycle waste into fuel. Through this focus, the Fusilia team from the 10 November Institute of Technology, ITS, is developing an effective idea through an innovative device called the Smart Reducer Gas Pyrolysis. A member of the Fusilia team, Emmanuel Nathanael Lumban-Gaul, said that as the agricultural industry develops, currently fossil fuels are still the main choice for a lot of farmers. However, its supply is reducing so that it has an impact on expensive prices. Based on these problems, the team involving 7 ITS chemistry department students designed a technology using waste pyrolysis techniques. The tool designed is a technology for converting plastic waste into fuel oil, which is composed of several parts, namely an 18-liter reactor connecting pipe, condenser, and product container. The Smart Reducer Gas Pyrolysis works by sorting and separating the plastic waste to be chopped to its smallest pieces. It is followed by a pyrolysis process by inserting 5 to 10 kilograms of plastic into the reactor and heating using liquefied petroleum gas or LPG. Plastic will melt and undergo a process of cracking into shorter chain hydrocarbons. With the heat added continuously in the reactor, the melted plastic evaporates. Steam resulting from heating will flow to condenser to be cooled so that a liquid in the form of oil is obtained. This pyrolysis oil is used to fuel diesel engines to power agricultural equipment. That's Miss Seleni.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back! This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's 5 super priority tourism destinations, Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared, who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, today's Music Corner presents a regional song from Southeast Sulawesi entitled Tana Wolio. This song narrates the natural wealth of the Wolio area, a district in Baobao City, Buton Island, Southeast Sulawesi. This song also signals hopes and a bright future through the development of the potential of the Wolio area. Here is regional song from Southeast Sulawesi entitled Tana Wolio.
Indonesia.
coba sini, tengok-tengok saya. Kata orang saya mirip Raisa. Hai kamu yang cantik dan manis, sini ku hibur pakai bahasa Inggris. Are you smiling atau meringis? But I gotta say, I love you man.
In the house, yo man. Let me tell you something about this song. Check it out.
Tidak perlu pantai jika ingin bersantai. Dengarlah lagu ini lewat headphone yang kau pakai.
Nikmati sambil tanganmu melambai-lambai.
Baru bilang bye-bye, eh sudah sampai.
Now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.